continuing halacha chav, talking about klei suda. Last time we spoke about the basic machlokes, taz and shach in this din, which is the mechaber says that a sakel shel shechita doesn't need to be toiled. The Rambam says that it does need to be toiled. The sakel shel shechita works with the food before it's ready to be eaten, so the mechaber says it doesn't need to be toivel because it's not working with food that's ready to eat. And the Rambam says, "Well, machmir to toivel blood bracha." And then the question was, I'm just saying this in short. Then the Rambam says the next case. He says, but another thing, the red glow that you make the holes in the matzahs with, he says doesn't need tefillah. So the Taz says, nah, that also needs tefillah blood bracha. He just for whatever reason he said like that, because it's also even though it works with raw dough, but it's still something that it works with food and helps get ready to be eaten, and therefore needs tefillah. And the Shach says, no, it's not true. Only those things that have a potential use with food that's ready to eat, like a sakin shoshchita, you could use that sakin to cut a potato, or cut an apple, you could do everything, something else that's ready to eat. That's something that needs, that they're almost being machmir to say, but the things that don't need, that there's no way in the world to use it with something that's ready to eat, like the red blood, the things that makes the holes in raw dough for matzah, so that, even the Ramos agrees that it doesn't need to be tefillah. Yeah, that was we talked about that. That's a big issue with Taz and the Shach, and we had a bunch of nafkaminis that case as well. Okay, so when we spoke about it like that last time, the term we kept using was: is the kli that you're using working with food that's ready for a meal? Okay, is it ready to use it as a meal, like a fork or something like that? Is that thing ready to use? Something that's ready to eat at a meal. So the truth is. The truth is that there's a machlokes, a further machlokes. And what that term that I keep using, is it for meal-ready food, is in itself a questionable term. And that is as follows. It starts with Rabbi Kvager a few halachas ago. There's a question whether things that are meant a storage container, like a bread box, or what's another example here? I have another example, I'll get to it. Or so that you put your sugar into, whether that thing, a big tank, whether that thing needs tefillah, which is to say, the thing that holds sugar is holding food that's ready to eat. It's ready to go. The bread box is holding bread. You can eat the bread. So it's working. It's touching food that's ready to eat at the meal. But the way it's brought down is the reason to say why it should not need tefillah is because the way some of the Rishonim looks at it, they say, does anybody eat from this thing straight? Does anybody drink out of this container? No, of course not. And therefore, it doesn't need to be tefillah. Okay? That would be the reason why some would say that should or should not be tefillah. So, that's a question, these kind of storage containers, so they're not used to cook the food, they're not used to eat the food, they're in between, but the food that they're touching, or let's say a tank that just holds apple juice before you put it into the bottle, so it's holding apple juice, but nobody eats out of that tank, and you don't cook in that tank, so does that need to be tefillah? Okay, so now, before we tell you what it appears the din is in that case, I mean, it's a big machlokes, is this seemingly an obvious question to this, okay, and the question is, I told you last time, the Gemara says that not only kelim that you use at a meal need to be have tefillah. Even though the words that we use are klei suda, that's the only things that you eat with at the meal. It's not only forks and knives and cups and plates that need to be tefillah. But the Gemara says, even pots and spits and grills, all these kind of things the Gemara says need to be tefillah. Now those things are not brought to the table. You haven't necessarily brought a grill to the table. They don't eat off the grill. So how can it be that someone could think that a storage container doesn't need to be titled? And it doesn't need to be titled because you don't use it right at the meal. You don't eat right out of it. Well, what are you talking about? The Gemara says the favorites that if you have a pot, it needs to be titled. Well, no one eats out of a pot either. Okay, maybe you could dream that someone brings a pot to the table, but nobody brings a spit to the table. Come on, that's like silly. You know what does that? So how can you think that the requirement is that the requirement is that it has to be something to eat, mamish clay soup, something to eat with, how could that possibly be? So, it looks like the answer is, and it seems, I'll read you some words from a children of worship that, not indirectly about this, directly about this, that means like this. So, my question, well, I'm going to rephrase my question so that I'll be able to give you the answer. My question is, we would think the word clay soup means things that you eat at a meal. Clay soup, the things that you use at the meal. When the Gemara says that pots are chayvin tefillah, or spits are chayvin tefillah, we think the Gemara is expanding that to say, not only things that you eat at the meal, but even the things all the way back to the beginning when you help them getting the food ready. Anything that has contact with the food, even getting the food ready, is also heading towards the suda. So all the way stretched, all the way back to there, is also considered clay suda. It's the kelim that help you get ready for the meal. It's the kelim that get the food ready for the meal. That's what we would have thought. But it seems that the others, who, in which case, if that would be true, then the storage containers would also be part of it and helps get the food ready for the meal. The others hold like this. When the Gemara says, clay suda means the things that you eat at the meal. And it's, we're not extending to enough, that all the way back to cooking. It's that, it's redefining what the word clay suda means. Clay suda doesn't just mean food, things that you use to eat at a meal. It also means anything that helps you eat the food. So help you eat the food. One is your spoon, that you eat the soup with it. You use the spoon to eat the food with it. And the other thing is, the thing that you cook it with also helps you eat the food. Because if you have a potato, you can't eat it until you cook it. So the pot also helps you eat the food. So it's clay suda, not because we say all the way back to being not stretching the definition of clay suda. We're adding to the definition, or redefining what clay suda means. It doesn't mean just when you eat at the actual meal, but anything that helps you in eating the food. So helping you eat the food is the clay suda, the spoon at the table. But clay suda also means the pot, because the pot also helps you eat the food. Without a pot, you can't eat the food. Okay, where Moshe says it, I'll show you, he's not trying to answer this question. He says like this. I'll read you the words. He says, clay suda means like this. Two things. Dvarim shu, tzarech l'suda, mitzah habishol, avshe emibim nesoy v'hashuch umachum l'suda. One is, there's one type of clay suda means the things that you need for the cooking, to get the food ready. And the second is, dvarim shein bevim behenes minyan oichel mashkul v'shuchon umachum l'suda. The second is, the thing that you eat at the table. They're two different things. To the point that Ramosha says, this that some people think that storage containers need tefillah, he says they really agree with the other people. When we say that storage containers need tefillah, Ramosha says they're only talking about storage containers that hold liquids. The only one who dreamed that you shouldn't get a storage container need tefillah is because it holds a liquid. Why? Because if a liquid, if I had a storage container that held apple juice, okay, if I had a pitcher that holds apple juice, pitcher's not a good example, if I had a container that held a liquid that held apple juice, if I didn't have the container, my apple juice would be all over the floor. Okay, so it's serving a role for the meal because if not for the container, there wouldn't be anything. Lafuke, if it's a thing that holds bread, if there wasn't a bread container, the bread would still be here. So it doesn't really serve any role towards getting the food ready. It's just nothing, totally bread, but it's not doing anything. As opposed to the thing that holds a liquid, if not for that, the liquid would be all over. I wouldn't have any food. So Ramesha says, they all agree that it has to be helping the food get ready for the meal. So some are mocked with to say liquid containers are helping the food get ready, and others say, come on, it's not really helping anything. It's just temporarily holding it while it's in between. Okay? This nafgamina that I just said to you, between a liquid and a solid, we're going to have it once coming in a few times from now, which is, there's a famous truth from Moshe about whether someone could eat, if you get served on dishes that were not tabled. You come to someone's house, and for whatever reason you figured out that they don't table their dishes, and Moshe is machad between whether the dishes are meant to hold liquids or solids. Okay, we'll talk about it when we get there. We also talked about it when we did Hilchos Tolayim. We were talking about what's the ravise, what's the habitat of a food, and there also was a chazanish who was machalik between whether a container is holding a liquid or a solid as to how big the habitat is, whether everything in the container is considered to be the ravise or only the actual food itself. Exact same kind of a chiluk of whether the container is holding a liquid, in which case the whole container, without the container, there would be nothing. Okay, we had talked about that back in Hilchos Tolayim. Okay. So now, lots of people, I don't want to say they directly disagree with Ramosha, but they implicitly disagree with Ramosha. This chiluk Ramosha is saying that there's a difference between a container for liquids or solids. Nobody else that I know says that. Most people assume that those who are machmir to say that a storage container needs tefillah means even for a salad. Ramosha says, no, if it'll be holding just bread, everybody would agree it doesn't need tefillah. Yeah, I don't think that others agree with that. we're going to see, in a couple of times we'll get to halacha ches, there's a question about whether if you're a Jewish manufacturer, and let's say you're, I don't pick on them, but let's say you kedem and you sell grape juice in glass bottles. So we're going to talk about then, are they mechuyev to toivel those glass bottles before they sell them to you? Okay, well if you make tuna fish and you put it into a can, you're a Jewish manufacturer, you own these cans, and you're using them to send tuna fish to people's houses. Okay, so are you mechuyev to toivel them before you put them in the container? Same question. We don't have to pick on the manufacturer. Same question for Illinois Nut. Okay, they package food for people. They put food on the platter. So they mechuyev to tayvel. We're going to talk about that in Mitzvah Shemini Halacha Ches. Okay, whether that Jewish manufacturer has a chiyuv to tayvel himself before he does it. But as you can imagine, that shaila is very intertwined with what we're talking about now, about whether a storage container. Okay, because that's really what those things are. So it's very intertwined with that question.
Did you say the names of who holds what in storage containers?
I'll get into a second. I didn't say it. Right. I said I'm going to say that in a second. I'm leaving you guys in suspense. I did mention it starts with a rakimaker back in Alachal. Okay, but anyhow, one of the things that we're going to talk about when we get to that dinner, Alachal Ches, is in Tzitz Eliezer, he says even the people who are machmir to say that you have to tie with a storage container are only machmir because, if you remember the words I said to you, it's possible that somebody could drink out of the container. Let's say I have a bread basket. Okay, I have a thing that holds bread in it, a box to hold bread in it. I could eat out of that bread. I could sit down, bring it to the table and start, or sit down next to it and eat right out of it. I could use it as a thing. I have a pitcher that holds, a container that holds my sugar. I can scoop sugar right out of it. I can eat right out of it. So he says at least it's within range that the person could eat out of it. It has a certain similarity to what Ramosha is saying. That it's only the things that have some functionality for meal uses that are possible behind the field. He wants to say in the Indian, those containers, he says, it's not possible to eat out of a tuna can. Okay? It's not because, let me just pause you for a second, of course you can eat out of a tuna can. But in the way that he sends it to you, with the can sealed, okay, it's impossible to eat that. You can't get the food out of a tuna can when the tuna can is sealed. Okay, so we're going to talk about it then, which cases and whether you are or not mechuyev, who would hold what over there. But this point that he says, that the only time that any, he says that only time anyone would be machmir about storage containers is only when you could possibly use them, you could possibly eat out of this thing, has a certain similarity to what Moshe is saying. Not exactly, but a certain similarity. Okay, so now, in the Halacha L'Maaseh, and I'll mention you some names, the Dr. Chuva brings a number of people who hold different ways about whether the Chayim Tefillah, as I said to you, this would be Krieger, rather. And the Star Cake quotes that Rabbi Hanman says you could be Mekel, you're not required to title any storage containers at all. Don't title them at all. Rabbi Kivager, when he brings from a number of Rishonim, or early Achronim, whatever you want to call them, who talk about whether you do or don't. Rabbi Kivager seems to favor someone who says that at least for metal containers you should be titled. Okay? For metal, because the chayim tefillah derives. It's a shayla, it's a suffix, what it is. So at least for the metal ones, you should be careful. That's what we're creating. It seems to lean that way.
And again, the svar of the poitrim is because it doesn't help appearance.
It has nothing to do, has no functionality for the meal. It doesn't do anything for the meal. The food that, when you cook the pot in the pot, that makes the food ready. You can't eat without that.
And on a plate, when I eat a solid food off a plate?
It's assumed that that's, Ramosha talks about b'dieved, but it's assumed, I'm eating off of it. This is how I choose to eat my food off of this plate. The storage container is not doing anything. I don't eat with it. It's not at the suda. It's not the clay suda. And it's not the food that gets the thing ready for the suda. It doesn't do either of this. Nothing. It's just like a temporary nothing. It has no use towards the meal. But the
salt sugar is
the suda. Salt sugar. You drag the meal. That's like, you bring that right to the table.
I mean, you're not eating the salt. It's in essence a storage container for salt.
No, because you bring it to the table. It comes to the table, you bring it right in, eat with it, so that's eating from it, you know? Okay, on the other hand, so aside from Kriegers, like doing three decisions by devices, from a whole bunch of contemporary Paiskim, starting with Shon Zalman Arbach, and then the ones who we know more personally, Radowski or Schechter, forced, say that you should tell without a bracha. Okay, so a number of people who say those kind of things, that you should be tayvel without a bracha, that's a suffolk, and they say even for class, I'll be tayvel without a bracha. Okay? So I just have to, before we finish this part, just stick in one piece, which is, I mentioned to you that the same question would apply to whether you have to tayvel a tank, like in a company. Okay? Assuming that you think that a storage container needs to be tayveled, then potentially that tank in a company needs to be tayveled also. There's going to be a secondary question, which is maybe the tank is so big that maybe something that's very large doesn't need to be tayveled. Also, that's going to be at the end of the simon. We'll talk about that. Maybe it's part of the frontier for a different reason. Not because it's a storage container, but for a second reason, because it's so big, maybe things that are very big don't need to be tayveled. Okay. So now let me move to a second thing, Which at first glance has no shaykhus what we're talking about, but you'll see it's that's what I'm talking about, because it is. And the other thing is, I just told you the Gemara says that if you have a pot or a spit, you're mechuyev to tefillah. So if I have a toaster oven, and in it's got a grate, and then I put bread right onto it, at least in my house they put bread right onto it, so then that's chayav to be tefillah, because that's like a spit, it's like a grill, I mean it's a thing that you cook on, okay? We talked about a few times ago whether you should maybe even be mechuyev to tefillah the chamber also, okay, but let's put that on the side. At least the part that the food goes onto, the grate that you put the food onto, assuming that it's metal, in my house it's metal, so then it seems pretty obvious that you should be mechuyev to tefillah. It's like a pot. So we would think that the same thing should apply to a toaster also. Okay? A toaster means an old-fashioned toaster where you just put in bread and you push it down and it pops up a piece of bread, or it goes on a belt and it pops out. But the same idea. It's the same thing as a toaster. What's the difference? You put the bread into it, you put the food onto it, and the food gets cold. So why shouldn't it be? We would think that it should be chayav to be tefillah. To us, it would be obvious that it should be chayav to be tefillah. So Rav Moshe wants to say that no, he thinks it's not mechuyev to be tefillah, and he bases it in part on the following question. Remember I told you that the Gemara says that a whole bunch of things are mechuyev in tefillah. A whole bunch of things are chayev in tefillah, not just silverware. The Gemara says, yoyres are chayev in tefillah, and I mentioned to you spits and grills also. Okay, but there's two other cases that the Gemara says are chayev in tefillah. And then, as the Gemara says yoyres, which means pots, the Gemara says, mechami chamen v'kum kemusim are chayev in tefillah. So Rav Moshe says, mechami chamen is like, so then you heat up water in, a pot that you heat up water in. He says, well, why did Gemara have to say that for? The Gemara just told us that yoyres need to be titled. So a yoyre and mecham mecham is the same thing. What's the difference? Something that you heat up, cook up food in. Okay, we get it. There's a chiddush that if you cook up the food in it, it's chayav in tefillah, not just if you eat at the meal. Well, why do you have to tell me every example of a pot? What's the point? Why not just tell me that yoyres have to be titled? We'll figure all that, all the rest of the pot. It doesn't have to mention every single kind of pot. What's the point of it? He says, that tells us that. When the Gemara says that a pot is chayav in tefillah, that's a chiddush that a pot is chayav in tefillah. Because pots don't have anything to do with eating it, not a klei suda. You don't eat at the meal with it. But we say, no, it helps get the food ready for eating, therefore it's chayav in tefillah. But what happens if you have a pot that it doesn't do anything, it doesn't make the food more edible than it was? It takes food that's already edible and it just makes it a little different. Like a pot that heats up water. It just heats up water. So water was edible before, and you couldn't use the water beforehand. So if it's a pot that just heats up water, it's an urn, we talked about this, huh? Just an urn, so why should it be chayav in tefillah? It's not clay soup, it's not helping anything for making the meal. If it cooks potatoes, well then it makes the potatoes ready to eat at the meal. But if it cooks up water, what's it doing? It's not clay soup. He says, therefore it was assumed that things like that are not chayav in tefillah, and it's a chiddush. The mecham mecham are chayav in tefillah because hot water is such a, for everybody, it's such a big deal to have hot water as opposed to regular cold water. That's such a significant change to the water. People drink iced coffee, but you can't make coffee with cold water. Having hot water is a big deal for people, and therefore, even though if it would cook up something, if it would do something else, just heat it up, that would not be enough to make it clay suda. To eat up hot water is a chiddush. The Gemara says that is chayav in tefillah. Okay, now, so when we finish the sentence, and I'll get back to what he just said. So he says, so the toaster is the same thing. He says the toaster, what does it do? It takes bread. Bread is edible. Most people have to eat bread just the way it is. So for some people, like a little better, then it should be toasted. He says, nah, that's not a significant change. It didn't do anything important to the bread. And therefore, only mecham mecham are chayav in tefillah. But toasters are not chayav in tefillah because the toaster doesn't make the bread anymore. Basically, it's the same bread as it was before. And it's a little toaster. Okay, it's a little crunchy. But basically, it's the same thing. And therefore, he says it's not chayav in tefillah.
Isn't that what you're just talking about? Making toast makes it pastel?
Yes.
So that?
No comment on that. Especially on my account. Okay. No comment on it. Okay, so now, I have to just tell you something, that there's just two angles that we could question what Moshe said about.
I mean, there's a lot of other things that would be even less than toast.
Like what?
I don't know, like a bread slicer, an apple corer.
No, because that, when you cut the food, that's like eat that amount at the meal. That's, you're getting ready to eat it, you cut the food in half to eat it, that's helping you eat the food. That's, you cut the bread, you cut my bagel in half so I can eat it. That's what I'm using it to eat the food. That's how I eat the food. Well, what does this thing do? It just takes the food that was edible. I don't eat with this thing. It's not clay suda. So that's everything over there counts. This is not at the meal. It's only counting because it helps make it ready for the meal. That's what Moshe said. That was the first thing I figured.
An apple, okay, an apple core, I don't know, let's say some kinds of peelers. You can eat the skin.
So we took that once before. If I put it through the apple core, yes, if we do it, then yes. So we do the apple and we put it into a bag and take it to school, maybe not. But if I do it right there and I eat it right now, then that's at the meal. That's how I eat it. It's like I'm not eating it. The table is not significant. It's not a bag, it's a table. Are you do when you're ready to eat? Do you put it through the machine and then take it out and take a bite out of it? So then you're eating from it.
Toast it.
No. Because you do it and then you eat. Okay, I don't know if that's exactly the same. That's all. I'm not sure. I'm going to ask you two different questions. We'll figure it out.
Wasn't my book about water? Heating up water makes it more mushy. Didn't you mention that once before about
the body? The Gemara says that does not. But okay, I don't know. Okay, now, let me answer my two questions. Two different types of questions. Not questions, sort of. One is like this. The Gemara actually says, the Gemara doesn't just say Mechami Chamin. The Gemara says Mechami Chamin and Kum Kamusim. Okay, so Ramesh says, well, Mechami Chamin is extra. Who needs that case? Okay, he doesn't explain to us what the reason for the case of Kum Kamusim. And now, most people don't know Kum Kamusim are, neither did I. But I found out that it's in a bunch of Mishnayos in Kalim and Mikvois. And the Rama brings it also in Hevel's Kalim. And Kum Kamusim, guess what Kum Kamusim are? There are also pots that eat up water. Okay? Well, the modern Hebrew word is taken from that word from Mishnayos. Okay? In modern Hebrew, it means it's an electric plug-in heating, you know, water heater. But it comes from these Mishnayos, and it's reasonably accurate to what it means. That kumkumusim, a kumkum, is something that's used to heat up hot water. Okay? So, the Ramesha is explaining to us why it says mechamechamen. It's got to tell us water, because it's a chiddush of water. Okay, if that's a question of why the Gemara gave so many, why the Mishnah, the Brice gave so many examples, how is he going to explain why it says kumkumusim?
That's the modern day language.
That what?
That is that English
good? No, it's modern. It's modern Hebrew, meaning Mishnah is...
Yes, and then we just translate in the vernacular. That's what it's Muhammad Haman. It's just the same thing, just two different expressions.
So the Bryce had mentioned two things because they're the same thing. Why would it mention two?
Things?
Oh no, they're not the same thing. I mean, they were translating it. Yeah. Okay, they're not exactly the same. If you look in the Tosfos Yontif, and the Mishnah is actually they're not the same. Mechamechamen and Kum Kumusim are two versions of the same kli. So, maybe that's what it is. Okay, I'm not sure. But I want to tell you, I'm going to have to say something from a different. So I'm not. My second question is not going to answer the first question, but maybe just put it in perspective, which is. The simple answer to Ramosh's question of why the Gemara mentioned all these cases is because the Gemara's the price that the Gemara brings is not exactly talking about Tzvius Kalim. Okay, it is, but it's not. What I mean is like this: if the whole Gemara of Tzvius Kalim, if the Gemara this is the piece of Gemara of Tzvius Kalim, okay, for whatever it's worth, there's two gods. Okay, if the whole Gemara of Tzvius Kalim starts the Gemara about Hakolos Kalim, okay, and the Gemara starts with a bridge with a price that's in between, and it says Tana Rabbanan, if you buy a kli. If it was only used for cold, you should just tovel it and you're ready to use it. If you use it for hot liquid, you kasher it and then you tovel it. And if you use it for on the fire, then you have to do leave into it and then you tovel it. Okay? So the brisa is not just talking about tefillah, it's talking about hagolah and tefillah. It's telling you the rules of how we have a new kli, a used kli. What do you do with it? You got it from a goy, you have to tovel it and you have to kasher it and gives you some of the rules. Well, if from that perspective, from the side of the kashering, mecha mecham is an obvious reason why he has to say that case. Because if I buy a pot from a guy, it's obvious that I need to kasher it. What did he cook in there? He cooked who knows what kind of chazer into that pot. But if I buy from him a pot that's only used for cooking up water, I might think I don't have to kasher it. Because he only cook up water. It's a water pot. That's all you do with it is you cook up water. So you might think that you don't have to kasher it. It's a chiddush. No. You never know what the guy's going to do with it. Who knows what he stuck into his water pot. So it's telling you, you do have to kasher it even though it's only used for cooking up water. It's just a hot water urn. You never know what Meshuggah is stuck into his hot water or what he's stuck on top of it, and therefore you have to kasher. So the kasher of why I have to say it, maybe it didn't say it because of the Tefillah Shavuot, maybe it said it because of the Hagolah Shavuot, where there's an obvious Kiddush, which is that you have to kasher it. It's just used for hot water. So maybe you think you don't have to kasher it, come on, you have to kasher it. Okay? That's not really answering Kum Kavusim, unless maybe they have different kinds of uses. Back to what Ramesh said. Ramesh said you don't have to tovel a toaster because it doesn't really do anything for the food, and everyone agrees, excuse me, if it doesn't do anything for the food, you don't have to tovel. So this chiddush about the toaster is built on the other chiddush, which is when the people said that storage containers have to be toveled, they're only talking about storage containers for liquids. But everyone will agree that storage containers used for solids don't have to be toveled. So this chiddush is built on top of that. Once you make that assumption, then you can think about toasters. Okay, as I said to you, I don't think that most people agree with the first one about the thing, and as I, you would guess, most people don't agree about the toasters. I don't have people the favorites. It happens to be there's a tshuva in Minchas Yitzchak. He's not talking about toasters. He's really talking about whether you have to have electrical appliances, whether you have to have electrical appliances. And the example he's using is a toaster. I mean, as if to him, it was partial that it has to be tevel. And he's questioning, well, maybe since it's electrical, you don't have to tevel it. But it's like, he's like mentioning totally in passing. I think that most people assume, not like a merchant about this thing, but there are those who do, there are those who make it, or at least say do tevel to you without a bracha, because they're merchants you shouldn't have to tevel. Okay? So let me give you a few examples that go relate to this thing of a merchant. One is Shabbos blech. Okay? So what's a Shabbos blech? It's a piece of tin that you put on top of your stovetop. Now, some people just put pots onto it. Okay? Obviously, if you just put pots onto the blech, you don't have to tevel the blech. Okay? What happens if you put food right onto it? Okay? In my house, they put food right onto the blech, onto the edges of the blech, to warm the food up. Right?
Without anything in between?
Right, they just hollow. They plop it right down onto the blech. What? That's a good question. That's not my blech.
It's some temporary side use that's occasionally you do. That's not what I feel right now.
So yeah, that's the halacha ches. The halacha ches.
Crack coconuts. I don't have time to have it because I crack coconuts with it.
That's going to be a halacha ches. We can talk about that. That if you use it temporarily, you actually do have to table it.
Yeah, they put the bread right onto it.
Nothing right onto the left. Okay, so if you do that, so maybe I only think this question because I'm the only one who does that. But if you do that. They put like challah. I don't put like chicken soup right into the back, you know? But,
can I probably get to the table of hammer through crack coconuts?
We're going to talk about halacha ches. Okay.
That's the basis for this question over here.
Why?
If you
do it temporarily. It happens every week in my house. So,
Buffalo bag.
Okay. So what I thought was, is that it would seem that Ramosha would say, that should be like a toaster. It's not doing anything for the food. What is it doing? Just warming up the food. It's just a way to spread some heat around and warm up the food. My bread doesn't get any better than it was before. It sure gets even less than toasted. Nothing. It just gets warmed up. Okay, it's usually for defrosting. It's not like nothing happening on there. Okay, so Rabbi would seem to him would be partial that would not need tefillah. And the others would potentially disagree. Those who say that storage containers need tefillah, if you say that storage containers need tefillah, then because it has food contact in between when you cook it till you eat it, maybe it needs you. Okay, opposite extreme is. Ooh, I forgot to tell you something. Okay, I'll skip that. Okay, opposite extreme is. Sandwich maker. Okay, sandwich maker. You take two pieces of bread, put cheese in the middle, or peanut butter, or eggs, or salami, whatever you want to put in the middle of it, and you close it up, okay, and come back a few minutes later, and tata it. Squished it all together and cooked it and made it to a new Michael. Okay? So it would seem that even Moshe would agree that even though you're really just toasting it, you're taking a ready edible food and you're making a new choice of eating it. But the whole point of this machine is to do that and makes food, makes quite a different food. And then putting everything together in a way seemingly that should be like a pot that everyone should be eating tefillah. Okay. To me, a little more questionable is what about if a person has an immersion blender? Right? An immersion blender is this long stick, and at least the way they use it in my house is you make something, let's say like soup, that's what it's usually for. You make soup, and the soup's got all kinds of pieces in it, but you want to have a pureed soup. You don't want to have a thick soup with chunks in it. So you stick the immersion blender into it, and it just chops it up. Okay, it's just a mixer on a stick. Okay, and it just blends everything up and turns your soup that instead of having pieces in it, now it's all just one big, thicker porridge. Okay, so it seemed to me that was exactly what Ramosha described about the toaster. Okay, it basically takes an already cooked food, and some people prefer it this way instead of that way, but you're not doing much to make the food more edible, and if you help like Ramosha, then seemingly that should not be tefillah. Again, those who disagree, which I think is most people, would think that needs to be tefillah. Okay, so a last couple of things.
Let's use it for other
things. Like what? Yes, so if you use it like that to prepare food, like if you have other uses for it, tomorrow, like you said, to whip a food, yes, then we need to feel if the whip is edible, which it is, if whip is ready to eat, then yes, then we need to eat. You're correct. Okay. So I have three things that, this is not related to what we talked about directly before, but just about this thing of what's considered clay suda, you tell me what you think. I have a little bit of people who spoke about it, but what do you think about these things? Okay? The three things are meat thermometer, and a flour sifter, and a food scale. Okay? Well, those three things, you use them in preparing food. You use a food thermometer to stick it into your food, to not, I know we use it for kashrut to see if the water is hot, but or for urns to see if the electricity, you know, how hot it is. But regular people use food thermometers to see if the food is cold. You stick it into your turkey and you see if it's the right temperature, that means the food is cold. That's what it's for. Or a sifter. What do you do with a sifter? You sift it, I'm not talking about 100 years ago. Nowadays, what do you do with a sifter? You want to make sure there's no, pieces of packaging are in there. You want to make sure there's no bugs in there. So you sift the flour, okay? But that's when the flour is ready to use beforehand. And the third one, a food scale. Okay, I'm not talking about a food scale for ingredients. I'm talking about for finished foods. A person wants to make sure they only eat, 400 grams of rice, so they stick it onto the scale. Okay, so... Okay. Okay, so I... A thermometer, even though you use it for cooking. Okay, so everybody here thinks, okay, that's fine. I can take that. Okay, I'll tell you some names in a second. I only want some of them do I have some names. And what would you think also now, related to this, is these three is, what would you say about an immersion heater? Okay, an immersion heater is effectively a piece of metal, you plug it into the wall, and then you stick it into your cup. And it heats up the water. Okay, it heats up the water. So Rabbi Asher says, it's a pot. That's how you cook up water with it. Okay, Rabbi Asher, you gotta cook it, you have to toggle it, because you use it to heat up water. Okay? Rosh Hashanah says, no, I'm not exactly sure what he means. He said the words that they quoted him as saying, it's not from him directly, it's indirectly, they quoted him as saying is that it's a gacheles ba'amo, okay, it's just like a piece of hot, it's like a fire, okay, which that's really what it is. It's not the pot that you cook in, it's the fire that you cook with, and somehow he feels it's not clay suda. It's not, I guess, suda, it seems that after suda means you get the food ready with it, and this is not with the food ready, this is sort of like...
I got that metal gacheles that I kept using.
What'd you
say? It had a metal gacheles that I kept reusing to heat up food, but I would have to
use it. I'm not sure exactly.
Usually the gacheles don't come in contact with food.
I know, but here it does. Right. But here it happens to be that it does. So what? Why is that an automatic disqualification? I'm suspecting that something to do that it's not clay suda. Suda has to do with like things that hold your food. This doesn't hold food. This is like heats up the food. It's like a funny kind of a clay. It's going to say. So anyhow, about the other one, I'm you guys are all very convinced, and I'm fine with that about the other things. Rabbi Asher says, I'll give you some names just for the ones that I know. Rabbi Asher says that you don't have to tidal sifter. And Rabbi Ford said you should, but without a bracha. And on a food scale, Rabbi Ford said, this time Tila with a bracha. Rabbi Shachter didn't know what he's talking about. Rabbi Shachter was very surprised with it. And he said, no Tila. That's what Rabbi Shachter said. No way that you can make a Tila out of it. Okay, that's it.